often sing a song titled None of Self and All of Thee. And as the song progresses from thought to thought, whether you're thinking about a person who is struggling with the idea of becoming a Christian or maybe a Christian as they mature, the line begins with the idea of all of self and none of thee. Only thinking of yourself. But then as the second verse begins, it introduces the idea of a Savior that has died for you. And so that thought is some of self and some of you. But as life moves forward from day to day, as it does, one is humbled often, and even more where the heart is being conquered. And so the third verse says, less of self and more of thee. But then finally, in the last verse, the love of God is truly realized. Whether, again, we are a Christian that realizes that God loved me and that He sent His Son to die for me. And I am humbled to the point that now I want to surrender all. Or maybe I'm a Christian and I think about the realities that as we mature, we progress through this to where maybe on our conversion we realize that we need God, but then there's a constant need to conquer the pride of man. And so the love of God becomes mature in our life. And so we victoriously finally really can say that we have surrendered all to where it is none of self and all of thee. And the point here, and it was actually made in the Bible class as well, I'm my greatest hindrance. When you think about it, self is the greatest hindrance to serving God faithfully because I put my will, my wishes above that of God's. And I do fall short in my total dependence upon Him and in letting Him completely guide my life. And yet what we all have to do is we all have to and we must learn to deny ourselves each and every day and give ourselves totally and completely to the Lord. None of self and all of thee. Well, that makes us think, well, as I reflect and I think and put together a sermon like this, I have to think, well, where am I in this process? And I would ask you to think, where are you at in this process? Many of us have been Christians for many years, and we have to realize that there are times that self is getting in the way. And so where this lesson is headed is the idea that we need a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And so the first thing that I was thinking about this, the Bible does liken people to sheep. So we're going to talk about that for a few minutes and then turn our attention to us, and then the lesson will be concluded, hopefully with some things that will benefit all of us as we think about this. But the Bible actually says that, you know, we're like sheep. Look at Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53 and in verse 6 in this messianic passage where we often turn to consider the death of Jesus, how it was prophesied very accurately. Verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That all of us are as sheep gone astray, that's all humanity, that's all people. So everybody, all of mankind, the Bible says, you're like sheep. You're like sheep that have gone astray. And so God in the Scripture is comparing man, you and I, to an animal, to a sheep. But then if you look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2, this idea of a flock or sheep is applied to you and I as Christians, to the Lord's church. And that's done so here in this passage where Peter the apostle says, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers. And we'll just pause there. So he says, shepherd the flock. A flock of who? A flock of sheep. So there he's comparing you as a Christian, I as a Christian, and specifically for the eldership to shepherd a flock of sheep So God's people are being called sheep in that passage. And so we have to ask ourselves, why does the Bible call or liken people to sheep and even Christians to sheep, as in a flock, or you and I as a sheep? And so that's where we want to kind of begin to think about the realities of who or what a sheep is. And so if you do any type of studying of this particular subject, you can learn some things about sheep. And I don't know if any of you have had sheep. I certainly have not. I know we have the kingpen of sheep and goats in our area, if you want to talk to Mitchell Dalrymple, or even Lonnie Oldag, who cares for sheep and is actually a shepherd over sheep there at the congregation. So there's a wealth of knowledge that you can get. And of course, when we look, the first thing is, and again, we're talking about sheep. A sheep, and what's very interesting is, the word sheep can be singular or plural. It's one of those English things, or deer is singular or plural. But I want us to think about a sheep, one sheep, you. And, you know, thinking about this from the standpoint of a sheep, and it applies to all sheep. They do not naturally have a way to protect themselves. And if you think about the little sheep or even the bigger sheep, they don't have sharp teeth. They don't have sharp claws. They aren't really all that fast, though in my research it says they're about 15, 20 miles at the most. And certainly I couldn't keep up with a sheep that's running 15, 20. But in relationship to predators, it's really slow. But not only that, but they tire rather easily. So they may be able to get up and go pretty quick. They don't last. And so that's the reality of sheep. And another thing is that they cannot naturally hide themselves. They don't have any kind of camouflage capabilities. A white sheep is going to stick out. It's not really going to be able to hide behind a bush and things of that nature. So it just doesn't have that built in. God created it that way. It just doesn't have a way to easily blend into its environment, like we see in other animals. And so what that means is the sheep is pretty much defenseless. It really doesn't have a way to protect itself. And so a sheep does not necessarily know where to go. And what that means is it lacks direction. Now, some humans, maybe you would say, I'm directionally challenged. And we all laugh and we understand what that means is, I go out here and I can get turned around and I don't have a clue where I'm going. And it was amazing. I'm not saying the girls were directionally challenged, but all three of them, when we moved here, ended up getting their license here. And so one of the first things that we would do is we would let them drive from home to here. And that they drove every time, every service. They had the same route, the same thing, the same places, the same things over and over to get skills. And I was amazed that we would be coming by the Lowe's and I'd just sit there and wait to see, are they going to turn? And they wouldn't turn. And I'm like, well, you missed your turn. And they were like, you know, and it's like, where do you turn? Or I would realize they're going to miss their turn. And I would say, where do you got to turn? You got to turn at that chevron. And then I would try to teach them, that's okay, you missed your turn. But Avalon runs parallel to 6th Street. Huh? What in the world does that mean? You know, and so again, we had that. But some just are directionally challenged. Like, they just have no sense of direction. Now, my mother-in-law, on the other hand, you can put her in any place and she'll find any thrift store, any antique. You ought to go with her, Caroline. She'll sniff it out. She can just take off and it's like it's in her blood. She can never have been anywhere and she'll find her way around and find her way home. Well, that's not true. Sheep are not, they just naturally do not know where to go. They easily actually get lost. And this happens, they follow one another, you know, they just kind of go off. And in reading about this, I don't know that, you know, I didn't search for an example that they mentioned that they'd actually follow each other off a cliff. They just get so, they have no idea of their surroundings. And so a sheep can just naturally be grazing and just kind of wander off, and then they don't know where they are. And what that means is they're not like other animals that have this homing device, this homing instinct. When we left Indiana, we were not taking our farm dog to Florida. And the people, the members of the church that ended up buying our house, their kids were scared to death of dogs, so they didn't want the dog. So we drove that dog and gave it to a neighbor some 3 miles down the road. That dog came home, and they fell in love with it, and it died right there on the farm. Those kids ended up loving it to death. But it knew where to go. A sheep's not like that. They can just go off, and then they're like, "Nah, yeah, you know, where do I go?" Well, that's the reality of what it means to be a sheep. And another thing about sheep is that they need continual care. And what, you know, they're subject to wounds, parasites. Why do you shear a sheep? Because their wool gets so heavy. But not only that, they get extremely hot. And they can't do that themselves. And so they have to be sheared for those reasons. And a sheep is easily frightened and very anxious. Loud noises spook it. Unfamiliar landscape can make it unsure. Shifting of shadows. I was thinking about what it meant, you know, shadows. Well, you know, the shadow can change sometimes as a bird flies over and you kind of catch that. That can spook a sheep, you know, and off it kind of goes. So it's easily startled. So what we want to look at is just kind of look at that as a whole. And it's not very flattering to be identified and likened to a sheep who is no natural way to protect itself, lacks directions, needs continual care, and easily frightened and anxious. And yet we just read two scriptures that basically said people are like sheep. They've gone astray. And the church needs a shepherd over the flock. But that's how God designed sheep. And basically, here's what you want to understand, is that sheep are dependent upon the shepherd. They need the shepherd. In fact, and I didn't know this, and I'm sure many of you have been on a farm. You know what I mean? It's a cast sheep. That's a cast sheep. You know what that means? I did not know it, but if a sheep gets on its back, it can't right itself. It will die like that. So if you ever see a sheep out in a field, if you go online, it's going to say, here's what you got to try to do. You've got to get it to where it can get back on its feet. I didn't know that. I've seen insects. I love it when the ladybugs are on their back and they're going, and I can't get up because I'm like, that one's going to die. I'm tired of these ladybugs. A sheep, that's called a cast sheep. So yeah, very needy. They need the shepherd. And so the connection between people and sheep is that God designed both the sheep and man to be dependent upon Him. To be dependent upon God. But you know, there's a very important difference between a sheep and a man. You know what it is? Sheep do it by instinct. We have to learn to do it by none of self and all of thee. You see, we have to learn how to, God gave us a freedom of choice, but we have to learn how to accept our need for God and our dependence upon Him. And when you think about the problem that many around us have, that's it. They cannot depend on anybody but themselves. It is all of self and none of you. Or maybe they're somewhere in a, maybe God, but maybe not. So, you again, people find themselves in various ways. But you and I, as we have become Christians. We had to surrender our will. That's why I all to Jesus I surrender. We like that song because that's exactly what you have to do when you obey the gospel. You can't save yourself. But is that not a lifelong process of surrendering yourself more and more because of the dependence? So admitting we're like sheep, then we have to talk about the shepherd, don't we? See, if I can say, okay, I am like a sheep, and I am totally dependent upon the shepherd, now you begin to see the reality of the beauty of the scriptures we're going to look at that talk about the shepherd and how important that is to us. Christians need guidance. Tommy just led us in "The Lord is My Shepherd," comes from Psalm 23. And if you turn to Psalm 23 and you look at just the first few verses, which we just sang, if you look at that, notice what it says. The point here is Christians need guidance. Now, who's writing this psalm? David. David, a shepherd. And yet David was humble enough to say, "The Lord is my shepherd. I need the Lord. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." What is David doing? He's saying, "I let the Lord guide me." And Christians need God's guidance. Look at John chapter 10. Now in John chapter 10, this is Jesus in the context identify himself as the good shepherd. Not a hireling shepherd. Not the hireling who, when it gets dangerous, they just get out of there. These aren't my sheep. I'm out of here. That's not the good shepherd. And I want you to just notice in verse 27 that it's put this way. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And what do? They follow me." Because we need guidance. Craig referred to that around the table when he says it's not within man to direct his own footsteps. We need and depend upon God to guide us. And in this beautiful psalm that David gave, as we've been studying, he was a strong king because he knew he needed a shepherd, which we've been noting, right? Who did he inquire of? God. What is he saying? "I need you. I need you to tell me what to do." And so he let him guide him. And Jesus said there in John chapter 10 and verse 27 that so will his sheep. So will you and I. We will hear his voice and we will follow him. "If anyone will be my disciple," Jesus said, "let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me." Deny yourself, none of self, and follow him because you need him. You depend on him. And so sheep need a shepherd to guide them, and so do I. So can I confidently say the Lord is my shepherd? Well, how about the second part, needing God's care and protection? I want to remind you of something. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. Do you need God to protect you and care for you? Let me read one passage and the answer becomes very clear. This is in the section when Paul wrote to the Christians at Ephesus and he said, "You put on the whole armor of God. Don't you leave a single piece off." Why? Why don't you leave a single piece off? Because of verse 12. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore take up the whole armor of God." You need God. You need God's protection. And you get it when you put on the armor of God. And you pray, verse 18, "always with prayer and supplication." You petition him. And the point I want to make is you do not stand a chance. I don't stand a chance as a sheep that needs God's protection because this battle is fierce. But remember what David said before in conquering Goliath? The battle belongs to the Lord. You were talking about knowing an answer. Do you know how all this ends? God wins. Period. There is no great battle with the serpent and Satan and some... No, God wins. In fact, at the end of Revelation, it's beautiful. It just basically says the enemy surrounded the camp of God and he just went, they're all gone. So the battle is won. Nobody's going to defeat God. So choose what side and humbly do that. Submit, because we need the good shepherd. And that's what John chapter 10 and verse 11 says, that Jesus is the good shepherd. Look at John 10 and verse 15. In this same context, you might enjoy reading John chapter 10 there this week, because it'll refresh some of this. Verse 15, he says, "And the Father knows, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Did Jesus lay down his life for the sheep? Yes, he did. And we just remembered it around the table. So yes, we need God's care and protection. Sheep are prone to all types of problems. Who do you turn to? Who do you turn to? You're like a sheep. Who do you turn to? 1 Peter 5, verse 7, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. David says his shepherd in Psalm 23, when we read that, he said, he restores my soul. That's what the shepherd does. He restores my soul. You need God. Christian needs God's continual watchful eye. Look at chapter 10, verse 3 and 4. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. I take great comfort. Does Jesus, the good shepherd, know my name? He does. Now am I going to hear his voice and follow him? And so we need his constant, continual, watchful eye. Because all we like sheep have gone astray. So as I begin to, as a person or as a Christian, I begin to wander off. You know what you need? You need that shepherd to say, getting a little too far away. What did you do with your children? They're getting a little too far away. Nicholas, we were FaceTiming a few weeks ago, and it was warm. The kids were outside, and he just kept having to get up because they just keep, especially Kai, he'd just get going. And he says, you know, I let him go as far as he wanted the other day, and he went practically around the neighborhood. So, you know, he said, my arm's getting, you know, I got a good wingspan, but they're getting quick, you know. So you reach a point, you say, no, you got to come back. You're getting a little too far. And so it is with the good shepherd. The watchful eye. What about the parables that Jesus taught about sheep wandering off and the shepherd that goes? And when he finds the sheep, he brings it back and they rejoice because the lost sheep's been found. The good shepherd. The only thing I can liken that to was one winter, probably about this time, we had a really blizzard, I think, in 78 in Indiana. And Dad said, our cow, she's given birth to a cow by now. So he went looking for it. And I have this memory of Dad driving the tractor across the field with that cow around its shoulders. And he put it down in the middle of the kitchen floor, and they opened up. Mom turned on the oven, and we sat there and towed it off. It's nearly frozen to death. Well, the shepherd who goes out and brings back that which is lost, that which needs cares, and the care, and the calming voice that assures the sheep that it's standing by. What do you do? Hey, you know, don't, you're getting too far. Come on back. You imagine the calming voice, you know, hey, I don't know how much shepherd, I suspect they whistle. And they get the sheep's attention. So the good shepherd knows their name and the calming voice. And did you know a mature sheep is just as dependent upon the shepherd as a baby sheep? They never lose their dependence. Humans we watch our children, they grow more and more independent, and we say, oh goodness, we're in the terrible twos and the terrible threes, because what? They're getting more self-willed, they're getting more independent, they're wanting their independence. And then they get to be a teenager, and they're wanting to break away and fly away, and they're getting impatient, and they're getting, you know, where they think they know everything, which is when you need to hire them, when they think they know everything. And they're getting more independent. But for us, no matter how old we get as Christians, we're always going to be dependent upon the shepherd, no matter what the age. And we've come full circle to where we started. As I get older, none of self and all of these. Sheep flourish when they are shepherded. I want you to think about that from the standpoint of a congregation, too, in the need of elders. I was thinking about that in a statement like that. Sheep flourish when they're shepherded. Well, by way of invitation, Psalm 119, verse 176 says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Well, Christians, when we go astray, we need to come back. We need to ask the Father to seek out the servant and help them get back on their way. We stand ready as we sing this invitation song to help anyone who is a Christian to make things right and to be right with God. If you're not a Christian, the question would be, are you going to surrender your will? Submit your life to Christ, the Good Shepherd. I don't want to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and Him say, I don't know who you are. I don't know who you are. And so Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 25, quoting, he says, for we were like sheep gone astray, Isaiah 53, 6. But notice what he says, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. If you're not a Christian, you need to return by confessing Christ, being baptized for the remission of your sins, and submitting yourself and returning to the shepherd. He's the shepherd of all people, but in a very special way to His church, to those that will willingly submit and have their sins forgiven. If we can help anyone in any way, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.